The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in on a Saturday morning. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, we think, eventually, soon. And big thanks to Greg Smith, producing engineering this morning for TJ Henning. Where is TJ? Well, no muffins today from TJ. And it's the alumni basketball weekend at Norris. TJ, a baller still, I will say, but specifically back in the day. You can join us this morning, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, and on the ESPN 1480 app. So here's the story. You have just a slew of things this weekend. Nebraska football practice today. We'll get a chance to go watch and see that. Kranak is motioning to me from Omaha that, yes, his internet is down, shocking enough, so we will effort him. You have Nebraska football practice today. Excited to see that. Likely a scrimmage. So how's the offense look? How's the defense look? How's it shake out? We'll discuss that. A lot of good news and nuggets and tidbits with Nebraska football this week as they got back at it from spring break. Of course, the week that was with Nebraska basketball and the Ed Morrow news. So we'll chew on that a bit. Our rewind segments, we'll have a couple. Bo Reed spent some time with us. Bo, a passionate supporter of Nebraska basketball. Bo, a former standout. So that rewind coming up in 15 minutes. Brandon Vogel next hour. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp in hour two. And then a second rewind in hour two as the Final Four upon us. And the pride of Wilbur, Dana Altman, joined Hail Varsity this week. You'll hear that conversation. So let's get to it and get with it as Nebraska football is on a lot of people's mind as you get closer to the spring game. And a lot of things from Danny Langsdorf after the Thursday practice that I want to get into. Also Nick Gates. And let's start with Nick Gates and what he was able to do after practice. And that's kind of open up and be honest about how his bowl game went and how it really kind of took him time to recover from that. That is pretty open, pretty telling, pretty real. And if you're a Nebraska fan, you can take it several different ways. Bad memory, sure. If you're a fan, real bad memory if you're Nick Gates. What's Nick Gates do with that life lesson? That lesson on the field. How do you respond and recover from it? Well, Nick Gates pretty much owned it. Think about a screw-up in your life. Pretty hard to own something you're sheepish about. And Gates stood in front of the cameras, talked with Mike Babcock, and it was, yeah, he whooped me. That's pretty mature. That's how I look at it if you're a Nebraska football fan. That's one of your team leaders. Junior to be on a vital position group, the offensive line. It's kind of your key, kind of your linchpin to, how's quarterback going to play? How's the running game? How's the balance? Is there, you know, going on the domino effect of how the offensive line plays and what you have with Nick Gates and kind of standing up and saying, yeah, it wasn't a good thing, but I learned from it. I'll be better from it. And that's the attitude you got to take. I mean, it sounds simple enough. Way easier said than done to own something that didn't go your way. Sign of maturity. And I'm going to go ahead and infer that that's really a good thing because if he's one of your voices, one of your leaders in this football season, spring and beyond, for him to kind of stand up and say that it wasn't his day and I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to be better. And also be real with you about how it took him a while to recover from it. Man, those are all good maturity signs. And, I mean, think about Nick Gates, how good he was in high school. How good was Nick Gates as a freshman? I mean, surely Calhoun wasn't down with him. And it's okay to get humbled. It's about reacting to it and learning from it. So your after-school special about teaching and commitment and acknowledgement brought to you by Nick Gates, and he was pretty good after practice. We have Mark Kranak. He was great after practice, I assume. Kranak, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning to you as well. Doing fantastic.
I'm filibustering on Nick Gates and what type of maturity he showed after practice with kind of owning the Barnett situation in the bowl game, but kind of applying it to a bigger picture from a leadership and ownership standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like that with my main offensive lineman saying all the right things and vowing to do all the right things on the field.
Yeah, you could tell that the whole thing stuck with him. And there's been a lot of talk since that.
Right.
Ever since, you know, there's been a lot of people saying, oh, he hasn't recovered. He won't be the same. Doesn't seem like that, right? It sort of seems like it woke him up a little bit. And if anything, it's going to fuel him.
No, absolutely.
Because he did not look good in that game. Let's call a spade a spade. That was not a good performance. And so I'm assuming he's going to pay more attention to just about everything that goes into being a football player.
Well, there's just some facts of life, too, where there are dudes on this earth that are built to pass rush the quarterback. And there are dudes on this earth that go to the next level and make a lot of dinero doing it. And Barnett, how good a pro is he going to be? I don't know. But Barnett's a guy that'll get a first-round paycheck to be awesome. So, listen, you go against really, really talented players, it's only going to make you better. So I was anxious to see him kind of discuss and open up about that in a really tough, probably the worst game he's ever played, in a game he's played a long time. And for him to own it says a lot to me about leadership and accountability. And I think that's a great thing with this offensive line, because it's his offensive line. It's his offensive line. And the offense goes as that O-line goes, and he'll be hungry to be as good as he can be and better. That's without saying. But now you have a chance to kind of rewrite a wrong in his mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks in better shape, too.
You know, he's down to about 292, yeah.
Yeah, lost a little bit. He'll put some of that back on before the season starts. But and it's interesting. I see that with a couple of the guys. Like Michael Decker.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, let's look at the body composition of the offensive line over the past few years. It hasn't been very good. You've had exceptions. Spencer Long, he was in good shape. But you know what I mean? There just hasn't been – they haven't had that look of a lean fighting machine, right, that has some bulk. They had some pretty sloppy-looking bodies. A few of the guys, you know what I'm saying?
Kranak, should we just title today Judgment Saturday?
Oh, you know what I mean. They had guys that just kind of ate themselves into the position, and I don't know. You know what I mean, though, right?
More training table, less weight room. Is that what we're saying?
You know where I'm coming from on this, right?
No, I know.
Like, dudes with just guts hanging out, like, and not that you need to be, you know, Drago to play offensive line, but I am impressed so far. So Gates has dropped some weight. That's good. He had some bad weight on him. You look at Decker. Dude, he looks in great shape.
Yeah.
And then Tanner Farmer.
Mm-hmm. Still wrestling.
Right. And DJ Foster carries his weight well. You know, there's a better look to those guys this year, and we'll see if it translates.
Let's shift gears from the spring practice today to Husker basketball.
Oh, God. That is a shocker, wasn't it?
Well, it's not a shock someone else transferred. It's a shock who transferred.
Yeah. So you've seen the journey on BTN, right?
Absolutely.
He had a quote in there when they covered his, you know, his situation from having grown up in Lincoln and then leaving and his parents being Lincolnites. And he said in that thing, in that journey, which is why I didn't think Jacob Padilla, by the way, from Hale Varsity, had sort of been intimating that this might happen. Did you know? Were you around him doing that? By the way,
I was around Jacob a lot this week and thoroughly enjoyed his premium content on HailVarsity.com. Not only from what's next roster breakdown to his player post season profiles to his all over this story. And
I can't remember
and the why.
I can't remember if it was on Twitter or where, but I was going back and forth with him about, you know, he intimated like, hey, if Watson or Morrow leaves, that's going to be really bad news. And I'm like, Morrow's not going to leave. Did you see him on the journey? He talked about on the
did
journey.
Did you not how, see the journey? Is that, yeah, is that your response?
I mean, honestly, I'm like, did you not see what he said there? He said it's a dream. He said it so emphatically. He's like, it is literally a dream come true to be playing basketball in Lincoln. You know, and he said it or something like that, right? Talked about it being a dream come true. And he's, you know, he just seemed so committed at that point. And that wasn't long ago. I wonder if he is the guy that went to Miles and said, we don't deserve to play in the tournament. Remember when Miles got pissed about that?
Somebody, I do.
Yeah, one of the players came in and said, you know, I don't believe we, after that showing, we don't even deserve to be in the tournament before going into the Big Ten tournament. And Miles put that player, without naming him, on blast.
Yes.
By saying that's a losing mentality and we do not want that here because something changed.
Here's my thought. In about 10 minutes, Bo Reed, the Rewind, you'll hear Bo's take on all of this. Bo Reed, standout Husker, very close to the program. Here is what happened to me. Ed got hurt. Ed's a sophomore. Ed sees all these dudes at the forward/paint spot, okay? Ed's worried about playing time. And Ed's worried about impressions and production for that dream of going to play professionally. What did Ed do when he got back from injury? Well, Ed busted his butt to be with his teammates to get back from injury, so kudos to him. But Ed pressed, man. Ed pressed on offense. Ed pressed on offense. Ed forced it on offense sometimes. And I'm thinking of the Wisconsin game. I'm thinking of the Minnesota game. There were just decisions he made with the basketball in the name of trying to score and help Nebraska win, but also in the name of, you know, trying to be a double-double guy. I mean, that's what he is. And I think Ed got a little bit caught up, and we all do, with watching out for number one. And I think someone or something suggested to him, it ain't going to help you be in here if you want to go on and have that dream of yours fulfilled. I think there was, I mean, however it materialized, that's the timeline. I'm Ed. I've got injuries a couple of times in my college career. Look how good they were with me to start Big Ten play. Look how dominant I was against Indiana. Look how dominant I was against Maryland. A double-double, obviously, but it was more the attitude and enforcer mentality he brought to the paint. And look what they did without me, 1-6. And then when he came back, there were some really, really close games they lost. And and Ed's turnover numbers didn't help it. Now, they were close in some of those games because, you know, Ed was not, it wasn't an Ed Morrow, it wasn't his fault, but he didn't help either in some instances. And everyone makes mistakes. I get that. You have turnovers in basketball, but for the most part, man, he was kind of a different dude, different mentality to me post-injury. So I think Ed saw the clock kind of ticking with, am I going to start? Am I going to have to fight off the bench for minutes? Am I backing up Jordy at the center spot? Hell no, I don't want to play center. It screws my offensive game. But from a skill set, and that's what Jacob really detailed well, what are Ed's strengths? Well, it's not handling the ball or doing anything off the deck to create a shot. It's, I'm going to eat iron, block your shot, dunk on you, and grab rebounds.
Which you can use on a team.
Which you have to have in the Big Ten. So yeah. It comes down to role discrepancy.
Look, period. But here's I'm sick of talking about this, though, right?
I'm sorry. Don't,
you know what I mean? Aren't you sick of – there's Andrew White. You know, the Pittsburgh situation.
Yeah.
Pettaway leaving early. Right? I mean, guys are leaving or transferring.
It's not just that. It's not.
A variety of reasons.
Granak, people leave college basketball 2 to 3 a season.
But I get it, but we're
but
talking
who
about.
Who is leaving? That's the issue.
Look, thank you. Yes, people leave, people transfer. But we're talking about Nebraska's top dogs, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, for a time there, and look, declaring early like Pettaway did. You sort of understand, but you didn't figure he was going to be a shoe-in in the league.
Fringe
right?
guy, yeah.
Yeah, he was fringe. Top dog. He doesn't perform well after the NCAA tournament year. He leaves early. You know, Siobhan Shields stayed. Ty Webster stayed. Everybody else, Andrew White, he leaves, transfers, goes to Syracuse, becomes their leading scorer. Now you got Ed Morrow. These are premier talented players too.
It's a profile.
Morrow's a top 150 guy.
Yep.
Right. Andrew White was got McDonald's All American. Close
guy.
To it. You know, started at KU. I mean, I don't know. So there's something in the water there, where your premium players don't feel like sticking around.
So what you're digging for is, are you bringing in selfish attitude guys? Everyone's selfish to a degree to thrive at that level. And from a basketball standpoint, you get noticed and seen by performing to go on and play for major programs or get that scholarship, okay? I mean, it's something that's got to be in you. But is it too tough to take at the University of Nebraska? For the basketball program, is everybody that is brought in kind of a bad attitude guy eventually, or do they get worn down?
Yeah.
By what's going on in the locker room, are they worn down by their head coach? I'm asking the question. I'm not accusing. And there's a lot of smoke there with the talent you need to win and compete in the Big Ten and get to the dance that eventually says to hell with it. I'm out of here.
Here's the thing, too, though, Chris. Look, so you look at a lot of the guys that have either left early or transferred or whatever. They are, in most cases, they are transfers themselves.
Right.
That's how Nebraska even got to them in the first place. Mm-hmm. Pettaway, Pitchford, Andrew White. You know, those guys came from Florida, from Texas Tech, from Kansas. So they already have the propensity to leave.
Right.
Obviously.
But that's right? But that's you. As a program mm-hmm. targeting that type of player.
Right. Yep. You deciding to do that. And then now you have a situation, though, where this is a recruited player.
Mm-hmm.
And a celebrated Simeon, from one, a legacy
from
one.
From Simeon High School. I mean, that is a powerhouse program.
And a legacy.
Yeah.
A Husker legacy. Come on. This is a high school. This isn't a guy that came in with that propensity.
No.
This one's different, man. This one is different than those other ones, and those other ones weren't good either. It's just it's concerning. Why are your top guys wanting to up and leave? At this point, it's a trend. Right? This is I know all the situations are different, blah, 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 but end of the day.
I would go epidemic.
We're
beyond trend. Yeah, two of your starters for the NCAA tournament team is trend. All right. Mm-hmm. Now you have Andrew. People killed Andrew for leaving because he looked at things and said, it ain't going to fly here, man. It ain't going to happen here. People killed him for it. He almost got to the tournament this year. Now Ed says, see ya. And then the last 24 to 48 hours, you're on. Who else is next? You know, who's next? Watch.
Do you think Glenn Watson's body language was good down the stretch?
No. I think it was awful.
If he leaves, it's sort of like I don't have any reason to believe he will. There's nothing out there, but his body language wasn't good down the stretch, I'll tell you that.
No.
And now I don't know how close he was with Morrow, but they came in together, both from Illinois.
Right.
You'd assume there was some sort of bond there. I don't know, man. It's not good. And if that happened, start ringing the alarm, right? Like,
right. You already have that hammer break in case of emergency in your hand. Mm-hmm. Based on, you know, I mean, what happens with Jacobson? Morrow's gone, so does Jacobson now have to slide to center because Ed is gone? And if you're Jacobson, you're like, hell no, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. Yeah. I've worked my butt off in the weight room. My plan this summer is to work on my shooting so I can be a stretch. Now, you know, go dance in the paint with big uglies. We'll see. Bo Reed will spend some time with us next on the Rewind. Dana Altman next hour. Time for you this weekend to see your friends at Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick, your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds, grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean for you? Well, they're beautiful. First of all, those diamonds, those pure-grown diamonds, tremendous. Eco-friendly, of course, 100% sustainable, and 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See for yourself about the pure-grown diamonds with Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer, only at Sauter Heyman. Pure-grown diamonds, they become one of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. That history extensive over a century. Find out for yourself. Check out those pure-grown diamonds this weekend. Your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Route West in Grand Island. See Rick today, SauterHeyman.com. Our Rewind next. Bo Reed chimes in on the Ed Morrow situation. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More thoughts on Ed Morrow. Welcome in, Husker Hoop standout, part of that 1991 team, the three-seed team. And Bo Reed, as he's traveling, are you weaving your way through airport traffic? Bo, how are you?
I am weaving my way through airport traffic in Salt Lake City on the way home to Omaha from California.
Well, how many pictures of Karl Malone have you passed?
I don't have any pictures of Karl Malone.
Not you. I'm saying in the airport.
Yeah. No, I don't see any.
Bo, listen, man. Upheaval. It's not even been 24 hours, and Nebraska basketball fans freaking out, and I understand it just because of how impressive Ed Morrow has been when you've seen him as a Husker. I want to first get your reaction to the news last night. Your immediate thoughts here as Nebraska loses a really talented player?
Well, my immediate thought was total shock. Like, it completely caught me off guard. You know, I could see where Jiriah, when he left, it was a little less unexpected just because I didn't really feel like his style of basketball fit really well with our organization. It seemed like he had struggled to pick up some of the defensive things that we were trying to get done. So he didn't shock me. This one shocks me, and I don't even know what to think about it, honestly. I hate to speculate. I just wonder if the kid's healthy.
Yeah, that's a question, because Ed's had a couple of foot issues, and you know what happened when he was gone through the meat of Big Ten play this year. But let's talk role here. Just doing my own math on this, when Ed got back from spring break, the accounts from Lee with his story, and then they had their meeting Monday, and then the transfer happens Wednesday. To me, this came down to role and unhappiness with projected role for Ed. There's two sides of the street on this. Ed wants to go and be a pro. A lot of kids want to play pro basketball. Whether that's a reality or not, time will tell. And then you have a roster look, and you got to see what's best for your team strength-wise. And Ed's strength was in the paint versus what he would like to do, and that's be a wing or a power forward. Just offensive development right there. His offensive skill wasn't strong from a jump shot or off the dribble. Do you agree with that?
I completely agree with that. And there's just, once kids get certain things in their head, certain people tell them, listen, if you're going to play in the paint, you have no chance playing in the league. You're 6'7". And kids get stuff in their head. Sounds like maybe you're suggesting that he had been kind of talked to during his meeting about.
And I don't know that. I don't have. But if you're just mapping out and blueprinting what do you need to work on this summer, this off season, everyone's pushing towards the tournament. And
well, he can spend every day from here to eternity, and Ed's not a three man. So, I mean, the guy's going to play power forward or five. That's what he is.
Well, from a frustration standpoint, you look at Ed, and in fairness to him, he's 6'7", trying to score at times against much taller guys. So,
yeah, understood. I mean, I see him as more of a power forward than a five, for sure.
Right.
But I still see him as a guy that's a post, high post type player. But if he feels like if he's going to play basketball at the next level, he has to develop into something more than that, then there's probably nothing Coach Miles could have said, especially if Coach Miles didn't see him in that same light. You know, sometimes a kid gets something in his head and you're not going to change it.
Mm-hmm. Bo Reed with us here, Hale Varsity Radio. He's on a pit stop in Salt Lake before he heads back to Nebraska. Bo, a Husker standout. Now, let's talk about Ed's intangibles, what he brought to the team, and the PR side of this for Nebraska basketball and Coach Miles. Bo, Ed's a guy that teammates looked up to and followed, and you can't lose that, and you can't lose that on a 12-win team that's trying to make a charge.
Well, I definitely think that Ed brought a level of toughness to our basketball team, especially in the early part of the Big Ten schedule when they were playing well. He was dominant against Maryland, and his physical presence gave our kids confidence. So, you know, it's just, this whole thing's just weird.
Yeah, but, and it's not the first time you've had, and kids transfer, right? Kids transfer everywhere, and kids transfer from Coach Miles. Tim also gets kids to transfer in. It's just another kind of punch in the gut for Nebraska basketball. If you're Coach Miles, what do you do next? Obviously, you pray that no one else leaves. You don't know if anyone will leave, but if you're on that roster, Bo, and you look at a guy like Ed leaving, are you shaky all of a sudden for the look towards next season under Coach Miles?
I mean, I think it's natural that people feel a little shaky about it. He was one of the pieces of the puzzle that you kind of counted on being present. So, I mean, I think a little bit of fear is natural with the upheaval in terms of the kids leaving. But a guy he's fighting for his program. Nobody's probably more upset or more aware of the implication of Ed leaving than him. Without knowing all the facts of that conversation between he and Ed, it's just a little unfair to speculate that this is a one way or, you know, not a mutual decision. And so it's, although that would be hard to fathom.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get to see everything that happens in a locker room. We don't get to see all of the interaction. And I'm certainly not suggesting that that is the case, but we don't really know the case. And so on the surface, it's a surprising move by the kid, for sure. It's a surprising move, you know, because I think a lot of people felt like Ed was playing a big role and Ed was going to continue to play a big role. So why would you leave? At the end of the day, we're just going to have to kind of see how Coach Miles pivots and how he reacts to that, and hope that some of the new players coming in can replace Ed's toughness and tenacity and his rebounding. And then from that point, all you can do is continue to support the team, hope that it works out for the best, both for our basketball program and for Ed. You know, I know Coach Miles certainly doesn't wish the kid any ill will, that's for sure.
No, I just remember the cheer that Ed got when he got back from injury. I think it was the Wisconsin game that he came back from the foot injury. You have a team that's struggling and it's still packing PBA, and the place roared when Ed came off the bench to go in against Wisconsin. People love
Ed. Yeah, that game.
Yeah.
It was kind of amazing.
Yeah, and Ed's a good dude, and you wish him well. And when you look at Nebraska here, now Coach Miles has three open scholarships. How does he get difference makers to the program when it, we don't know this because I-Course hasn't said anything, but the look is you have a year to get it done to remain. How's this pitch go to fill those three scholarship spots?
Well, just the fact that this is happening, you know, in the spring semester, late in the school year, puts us behind the eight ball in terms of replacing Ed with a given talent. Mm-hmm. So you end up with some kids that have slipped through the cracks for one reason or another. Typically academics can kind of cause a kid to kind of still be available late. Coach Nee had a number of situations that were similar, but it seemed like those were always kind of difficult situations. So, you know, the transfers that we have that have been sitting out have to play a big role, obviously, and some kids that are left behind have to play a really big role. I think it puts a lot of pressure to really develop Jordy Tishinga so that then Michael Jacobson can play before. And so Jordy's got to get better this summer because he's going to have to play a very significant amount of minutes, and he's going to have to be productive. Ed's transfer just made that kid have some pressure to get better and develop. So.
And Bo, real quick, tell me from your basketball background and standpoint and just your experience, the anti-Tim Miles roar is, well, you've either misjudged talent or you've been unable to develop talent because of this merry-go-round of players shuffling in or out, or there's been some disconnect with guys leaving, good players leaving. So there's a lot of balls in the air here question-wise. If you're Ed, and maybe one school of thought was, well, I'm not going to get better here, I need to go somewhere else offensively, what's the approach and what's the recourse to get your forwards and your centers developed? How do you go do that? Because it takes bigger guys a while to develop offensively, hence a lot of times they come in raw.
Yeah, well, a couple things. Number one, Coach Miles can't win. You know, if we don't have a top 100 player, people are questioning his ability to recruit. Well, I got news for you. Top 100 players have other choices besides Nebraska.
Right.
And they end up in different places unless you have a personal relationship with them going back quite a ways. You have the odd person that decides that they want to go somewhere and be a game changer and aren't afraid to put the program on their shoulders. You know, secondly, if you do invest in some of these kids that are tweeners and that the bigger schools aren't taking, then you do have to develop them. And there's not always a guarantee that the kid's going to do the work to develop and do the work required, because a coach can show a kid everything you want. But the reality is kids get better in the summer by going and doing the work themselves. You know, to get better at this game, you need a gym and you need a ball. And, you know, I think a lot of our kids have to get back to that. And you make yourself a better player in the summertime. Your coaches can tell you what to do. They can give you the things that you need to work on. But if you're not going to go do the work, you're not going to get better. And I think sometimes we lay all of the development, the player development, on the coaches. But, you know, I remember one of the expectations of Coach Nee was he had different workouts for different players. Mm-hmm. And there, it was a time deal. You should be able to get this workout done in X number of minutes. And, you know, you couldn't do that the first time through. You couldn't do it the 10th time through. You had to do that workout all summer long to get to where you have the stamina and the endurance to do that workout and get it done within the allotted amount of time. So we had a way of understanding by the time a kid came back to campus in the fall if they had done the work. And if they didn't, that kid had a tough fall. And so I think we got to figure out, you know, a way to hold the players more accountable for the work that they do in the off season, because player development is obviously the coaches play a role in that, but the kid has to do the work. And I think you run the risk when you're into these kids that are kind of in between kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think you run the risk that some of the kids get to a certain point to figure out, hey, I'm not going to play in the NBA. And I'm pretty happy being a college kid going to the University of Nebraska. It's a pretty nice place. And they get treated like gold. And, so you get a couple kids and maybe an Ed Morrow that says, hey, I'm never going to make the league playing here. Yeah, that just doesn't sit well with me, you know, because it's like going into our senior year, we had all these guys fighting and complaining about playing time all because they wanted to play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally dawned on some of our people, guess what? none of us are going to play in the NBA when you win 12 basketball games. So if you want to play in the league, we have to get good and we have to win. And winning has to become the first priority. And unfortunately, a lot of the kids are in this generation are me first. Mm-hmm. They don't hesitate to transfer if they think it's better for them or their brand or whatever. Mm-hmm. The brand has to become about winning here. And the parts have to become interchangeable. And it's got to be, hey, we're playing to win. Personal goals will happen if we win. So it's, you know, I don't know what the answer to that is, mm-hmm. but kids leaving because they want to pursue personal goals, you know, I get it. You'd hope that a kid like Ed Morrow wouldn't feel like he needed to go somewhere else to pursue his personal goals. But at the end of the day, if his personal goals are something that we don't feel fits our program or we don't feel really are his strengths or even his abilities, then it's probably best that the two parties do go different directions, you know, and you hope to move on and plug in people that do want to play for the Big Red and do want to run out to a sold out arena. And some of the things I think some of these kids take for granted that they have really, really good here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Bo Reed with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Find Bo on Twitter at BReed40. Bo, have a safe trip. Thanks for a few minutes, man. Great to get caught up.
Yeah, thanks for including me.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Winding down hour number one on a weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, big thanks to Greg Smith, producing engineering today. That was Bo Reed, his thoughts on Nebraska.
Hey, I didn't know Greg was up in here today. Okay. Greg,
yeah, he's wearing the White Sox pride. He's got that White Sox gear on, man.
Hey, man, that'll work. It's so crazy that we spent all this time on Ed Morrow. Did you see the release that just came out that Ed is coming back?
No, are you jacking with me?
April Fools!
Why don't we hang up on Kranak here?
It's April Fools, man. We got it.
Hey, you know. Schmidt, guess what?
Yeah.
No fooling you. In 1 hour from now, you'll hear the pride of Wilbur, Dana Altman, on Hail Varsity Radio.
How about that conversation you had with him earlier, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, listen, I know there's like some Creighton dislike.
Did you ask him if he would consider coaching here? Of course he wouldn't answer it, but did you ask him?
No. Hey, Dana, I know it's the Final Four. I know it's a dream arrival for you. I know you've dealt with a severe injury back in the Pac-12 tournament. Will you drop everything and come back home? No, I did not ask him if he'll coach Nebraska. I don't care if he'll coach Nebraska. I was more interested in the fact that Oregon and Dana and the pride of Wilbur are headed to the Final Four, a chance to take.
You're more interested in that than him coaching at Nebraska?
Yeah. There's a smidgen, really? Smidgen of reality. Yowies.
I think he would consider it.
Can I talk about Yowies? Kranak, you've been to Yowies. We've had a beer at Yowies.
Yeah.
Today, we're at Yowie's for the Final Four, March to Prize Madness, 3-6. So we want to see you down at Yowie's. Why not come down to Yowie's? Amazing TV spread, amazing Bud Light specials, tremendous food. It's a place you want to be to watch this incredible kind of crescendo to the tournament. All right.
Nebraska's next coach might be on TV today.
Kranak, just quit trolling people. You're getting hopes up.
April Fools.
Yowie's, 8th and Q. Come see us, 3-6. Stay for the basketball. And what can you qualify for that we'll give away Monday? Greg and I will be doing Hail Varsity Live Monday. 55-inch LG Smart TV. That's like Kranak big when it comes to living room or man cave. Oklahoma Joe's. You love barbecue. It's coming right next to Yowie's. Barbecue for a year from Oklahoma Joe's. You can win. Also, Bud Light draws $2.99. Bud Light buckets, $16. 16-ounce Bud Light buckets. So we invite you down there. Also, your opportunity for plenty of goodies when it comes to Bud Light gear. Slim Chickens goodies, overhead garage door opener, single barrel gift cards, all that and more. All you got to do is come by, enjoy March to Prize Madness, and watch some basketball, eat some great, great food, and enjoy Frosty Bud Light. Boom, your Saturday's set. So that's where we want to see you. Danny Altman coming up. Mark Kranak is alive and well. He's joining us this morning. Chris Schmidt and Greg Smith. Brandon Vogel is in about 10 minutes. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, will join us. Kranak, did you catch any Nebraska baseball last night?
Yeah, good win.
Great
good
win.
Couple home runs win. Despite the Adidas bats.
See, huh? Listen, I'm so happy for these guys because they got rolling offensively. And against Indiana, man, you better score some runs because they're really good at doing that. And to hold Indiana, now the temperature and weather conditions, 45 degrees, no thank you. Nebraska put up with it, got the win. Four straight wins for Coach Erstad and the gang, now 14-10. And if you're a Nebraska baseball fan, man, you've been dying for this type of start, right?
They've put up some runs too, right? Like, you know, in that four-game streak,
sure.
They scored 11, and 7. Not bad.
Indiana scored 26 runs against Northwestern in the last series. So they came in like red hot. Like, you're a Braves fan. They came in Mark Lemke hot.
Yeah. First Mark Lemke reference.
I know, but
good.
It won't be our last. Next week, we'll try and get you Spanky LaValliere.
No, right? No Otis Nixon?
No, well, Otis frightened me. Otis frightened me when he tried to bunt his way onto first base in game 6 against Toronto.
Yeah.
Didn't like that call. Like that call. But listen, Nebraska got things going offensively. Altavilla. Huge shot for him as he was able to get momentum back. Ben Miller, the pride of Des Moines, solo shot. He's been wanting to get a hot bat. He did that, and Nebraska got it done. 7-3 on the road to open the series. Game 2 today at 1:05.
And all field turf baseball field in Indiana, too.
I
no
love
good.
That. That's cool. Brandon Vogel coming up. Hour 2 next on Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Greg Smith coming up. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, 40 minutes away from our conversation with Oregon head basketball coach Dana Altman. And we welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, Kranak, Greg Smith has an interesting nugget from Mark Ziegler of San Diego.
Yeah, he just put out a tweet, or actually it was early this morning, that said, don't be surprised if New Mexico AD Paul Krebs makes a run at former Colorado State and current Nebraska coach Tim Miles, who is hanging on by a thread currently at Nebraska.
So Mark Ziegler, gentlemen, a sports writer in San Diego, throwing that out there. And, of course, Harriman down at New Mexico. What do you think, Vogues? I'll get your reaction to the carousel thought by Mr. Ziegler.
Well, that's a good connecting of the dots there, Schmitty. I didn't draw that connection immediately to Harriman, but
what, you don't follow New Mexico basketball either?
No, not enough. I guess that's what I've learned so far on this spot this morning. Wouldn't that be sort of the fitting in to where this thing seems headed at the moment, which feels a little bit harsh, but yeah, you lose your coach to go to New Mexico because, you know, the writing seems to be on the wall. I don't know. It would shock me, but that shock seems to be the order of the day with the program here of late, at least.
Yeah. Brandon, it's so interesting. And here's the thing. It's always Nebraska's, like, top dogs that are transferring. You know what I mean? Like, with the Morrow news this year, and then you go back to Pitchford, and then you go back to Pettaway leaving early. You go to, obviously, Andrew White last year. What do you think it is that leads the top dogs to think?
Tell us why, Brandon.
And I would even put, you know, Terrence Smith in that group.
Yeah.
You
oh,
know,
God.
He only played a year, but he sort of seemed like the point guard of the future there. You know, and then Watson came along, and you figured Nebraska was okay. And Duquesne's kind of had a mutiny on its hands. Smith might even be leaving again. Why does it happen? I don't know. I mean, you get to these sort of situations, at least with both Morrow and White, where you get a little bit of the details of this sort of fateful last meeting. And I think the important thing to remember about those is that, like, you didn't lose the guy on that day. It's sort of everything that came before it. And when you look at guys that are playing major minutes, major contributors, leading scorers, leading rebounders, you just have to wonder, did they not like playing for Miles for some reason? And what do you do with that as a coach? I think you have to sort of seriously sit back and reevaluate things, thinking, okay, how can I make this better? Because in absence of other information, it's kind of tough to come up with any other rational explanation. There's a tendency, you know, and it is a two-way street, but it's really hard for me at the end to come back and say, well, these kids, they just have an unrealistic view of what they want. You know, there's a little bit of that. But when you connect them all together, it seems like there's something on the other side, too.
Rogues, I'm going to totally put you on the spot. Did you consider leaving Hastings basketball for more playing time ever? Were you one of those kids contemplating a transfer?
No, it was apparent. It was apparent from how that was going that there was no other level where more playing time was going to be available for me at that stage. I mean, frankly, I was kind of like, yeah, I think this is. I could have, if I had considered, it would have been akin to leading Nebraska to take the coaching job at New Mexico. Let's put it that way.
Is the sealer Polios Hermanos? I mean, is that the deal maker for this?
I hadn't thought about that angle either, but, you know, you get there, you get, you know, these coaches, they can make a lot of money off the court with these sort of, how do you say, sponsorships, I guess we'll call.
I like it. Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, and Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, you've had a great week of hot reads, a lot to get into. Let's go to spring football for a little bit. And your latest hot reads, you had kind of an assessment through Athlon of quarterback performance. And let's talk Tanner Lee and the projections for him. If I recall, is the 90th best quarterback in the country. And Tommy Armstrong last year was the 32nd best quarterback. And I believe that when you look at that rating system, you go to touchdown and interception ratio, you go to yards, and you go to wins. I mean, Tommy's a 9-win quarterback last year, and you just don't know a lot about Tanner Lee trying to project it to Nebraska. All you have is Tulane to go on, and that wasn't an ideal situation. What's your reaction to the quarterback kind of slotting through Athlon? I really enjoyed that with your hot reads.
Yeah, it's sort of an impossible task to try and rank every quarterback, every starting quarterback in college football, because you don't know who a bunch of them are at this point. But my main takeaway was that if Nebraska is only getting 90th best quarterback play in the country, they're going to be in trouble. So if that ranking proves out to be true, I think that's significantly lower than sort of what Nebraska fans are expecting. And I think it's significantly lower than these guys' ceiling. You know, if Nebraska gets something closer to top 50, I think that's kind of par for the course. You climb into top 30, and we just don't know that much about Lee or O'Brien yet to make any assessments of the reality of that. Then you have the chance to really sort of raise Nebraska's ceiling in terms of overall wins and losses. But I've gotten the sense just from looking at our State of Husker Nation poll, which is still open, and, you know, talking to folks and reading things, that Nebraska fans are
expecting a significantly higher level than 90th in the country. In fact, I was thinking today, do you think Nebraska fans have higher expectations for Lee than they did when Sam Keller came in 2007?
Good call.
I mean, because, you know, you had the sort of, here's a guy who fits the coach's system, but Keller had put up way bigger numbers at a Power 5 school.
What do you think about the news of Tristan Jebbia jumping to the top of the depth chart as the number one quarterback right now?
Stop trolling.
April Fools.
I wouldn't be as shocked as that as Tim Miles leaving for New Mexico. Well, I guess I'll put it that way. I would be shocked if he, with the, where he's, how young he is, how young he looks, how young his body looks, I'd be shocked if he were able to make it through the 2017 season. But talent-wise, I think there's a lot to like there.
Well, I'm excited to see this new wishbone offense by Riley today.
You know, when Oklahoma went to the wishbone, they switched like four games in. Switzer was like, you know what, this isn't working. Let's run the wishbone. And he convinced Chuck Fairbanks to let him do it. And then they basically won the 70s.
I'm gonna go another step further with you on Switzer. He's the happiest guy in America that Troy Aikman broke his leg.
Yes, he is.
I mean, think about that, right? 85, Miami and Oklahoma square off to start the season. And Aikman, homegrown kid, you know, snap, crackle, pop. Well, let's dust off just freshman named Jamel Holloway and go win a national title.
Yeah, not too bad.
No, and Switzer was like, all right, we better throw the ball. I guess I got to throw the ball because I got a passing quarterback. And then Troy's like, I'm out of here, man. I'm going to UCLA.
But, you know, and it's funny because that's an example. So Switzer obviously felt like he had to go out and get Troy Aikman, even though it wasn't a fit for the scheme. So he's like, oh, well, we'll change it. We've won a ton with Wishbone. Let's tweak it a little bit. You know, Marcus Dupree, they went to the I formation for a little bit to sort of keep him happy. For as much as we talk about fit and scheme and style as it pertains to Mike Riley in Nebraska, it was certainly a different era then. Like, well, maybe we'll run the I formation this year.
Yeah, adaptability to your talent. Vogues, let's look at the scrimmage that's supposed to happen today. And what are you interested in today with this scrimmage? Not to overblow whatever happens today, but, you know, it's kind of the build-up. You got the spring game, but really today and next Saturday, two very important opportunities for guys with pads on.
Well, what I'm really interested in is I assume Les Miles will be there, and I want to know, like, the internal monologue that's going on when Les Miles watches that. He's seen some dudes in the SEC, so when he gets there and watches that scrimmage, does he go, okay, does he go, yeesh, does he go, wow, like, what's his reaction? We're not going to get that part of it. So I'll probably go back to the easy answer. It'll be interesting to see the quarterbacks sort of in real live action. And what I mean by that, you know, where you're trying to move the ball, maybe you start at 20 and you try to go down the field. Mm-hmm. You can learn a little bit more when you just get to sort of run those plays and run those situations. You know, last year Nebraska spent a lot of time, because I think they needed to work on it, you know, in 2-minute drills in these sorts of scrimmages. So it'll be interesting to see how that operates as well if they choose to do that.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska set to scrimmage later on as fall camp continues. And then, you know, just a couple of weeks away from the spring game, during the spring game, who do you expect to maybe stand out as far as guys that you haven't seen stand out for Nebraska yet? So none of the returnees, but any of the new guys or red shirts or people that have just been buried on the depth chart, who are you most interested in seeing?
It might be Keyan Williams, just because he was a guy who really wasn't sort of on my radar at all. But it seems like he is putting the work, and he's really in the mix there at the slot spot. So basically anything I see from him is going to come as sort of a surprise. Defensively, I don't know. Somebody's going to be there on the defensive side. I don't know if I have a great idea of who that's going to be. I'm kind of interested to see Eric Lee. He's not with the top group at the moment, but he sort of fits that mold as well as a guy who UDU had pretty good talent coming in, hadn't seen the field a ton when Mike Riley sort of, I think, inadvertently left him off the 2 deep at that opening press conference. Everyone kind of wondered, well, where is he at? Turns out he seems to be in the mix and seems to have made some gains. So I'll be interested to see him as well.
Vogues, what did you take away from Nick Gates' comments? He was talking with Babbers and some of the other media, and Erin Sorensen also caught up with Nick Gates, so you can check out HaleVarsity.com and read her discussion with Nick Gates. But you know what? It was much more serious than just a bad day at the office, it sounds like, for Gates after the bowl game. I mean, it took a while to move on.
Yeah, you know, I definitely took it as an encouraging sign for Nebraska. For players like Gates in particular, highly touted guys, and not just a highly touted football player, a highly touted baseball player as well. You know, he's a pretty good athlete, played at a huge high school program. So, like, the glitz and glamour of a place like Nebraska or someplace comparable probably doesn't feel as big of a step up. And guys like that can sort of get by just on their natural ability for a while. I took his comments as looking at that Tennessee game as sort of a realization that, well, not only are there sort of bigger and more talented guys out there, but like, I just want a guy who's going to the NFL. And it has to be about more than talent at some point. So it felt like a little bit of a corner turn to me.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hale Varsity Radio. How far away are we removed? Remember the Boyd Epley comments about we're 18 months away from having the kind of athleticism that we need from our strength program? You remember those comments? Does that now apply to this coming year? I just can't remember the timeline.
About a year ago.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but I think you're right. We'll have to go back and count that up, because it might be about, I think you're right, Schmidt, it might be about the start of this season. So by the time you get to fall, you should expect to see an entirely different team, I guess.
Well, but, you know, I kind of take him at his word for it, because, look, if you just look at the body composition, we were talking a little bit about this in the first hour, of the offensive line just over the last decade or so. With a few exceptions, it hasn't been great, right? Like, you're not looking at a lean fighting machine there. I feel like that's actually different this year. When you look at guys like Neville, Tanner Farmer, Michael Decker, looks great in pads. I mean, that's a big, strong center for Nebraska.
He would tell
probably
you thank
gonna
you.
Be the starter. Right? Foster carries his weight pretty well. Nick Gates is slimmed down. I'm wondering if that'll translate. I wonder if this is the year. And I guess it would have to be, because, yeah, it was about a year ago when Epley made those comments, right around the UCLA game.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, at the Music City Bowl, where you have the opportunity to watch a lot of practice, and, you know, things are a little bit looser. You know, there were a couple guys there that was still kind of taken aback by their body type, not in a good way. But I think for the most part, I noticed more of what you're saying, Mark, that things look to be changing a little bit here. And when you start to look at the 2017 season, I approach it as, okay, looking at what are some of the unknowns, the things you can't project right now that could potentially change Nebraska's season. That could be one of them. You know, you have no reason to sort of doubt Epley's expertise in this area by any means. If that's true, like, if this is sort of, this coming season is the first real, I guess, fruition of what Nebraska's strength and conditioning program has been under Mike Riley, that could be one of those things that changes things for this season.
Vogues, what's coming up this weekend on HaleVarsity.com?
Well, we'll have your scrimmage coverage. There's always recruiting information going on. Baseball, of course. Nice win for Nebraska last night. A nice stadium on Indiana's
part
last night.
Do you like the all-field turf field, though? I can't get into
that. Yeah, you know, that was a little bit weird. I was kind of mesmerized by the palatial dugouts. Like, I felt like I was watching a major league game. So yeah, those are some of the good things that are coming up.
Find him on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel, and read him, HaleVarsity.com, and the hot reads. Vogues, have yourself a good weekend, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Awesome stuff. Brandon Vogel, we are 20 minutes away from Dana Altman. Our conversation with the Oregon head coach, the pride of Wilbur. I want to remind you about buckling those safety belts. If you decide not to buckle up, you're not the only one that suffers. Your family, your friends, your coworkers also suffer if you're injured or killed in a crash. A reminder, click it or ticket now, reducing injuries and saving lives every day. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Dana Altman shortly, the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp up next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranek.
Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek, Greg Smith, producing engineering today for TJ Henning. We are at Yahweh's 3-6, March to Prize Madness. Want to see it out in the Haymarket 8th and Q. Our conversation with Dana Altman in about 15 minutes. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, with us. Sharpie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's no April Fool's joke, eh? We're really doing this?
We are, and Kranek will have many off-the-wall discussion points to troll people with momentarily. I got to start off, though, with, your reaction to Nebraska basketball's week.
Not a good week from the PR standpoint. There's transfers in the last, and there's been 10 of them since 2014. Mm-hmm. Outside of Walter Pitchford, there's probably a case to be made for each guy transferring, whether it be for the benefit of him or the benefit of the program. The two that transferred earlier, Jariah Horn and Nick Fuller, you can understand. But when Ed Morrow transfers, and he's one of your core, then you have to ask some hard questions about what is going on. From a basketball standpoint, if you're a coach and somebody comes to you and says, hey, I don't feel comfortable for the sake of the team playing this spot, my NBA career is at that spot. If you have a culture that there's trust in it, that the player goes, okay, I trust that you'll develop me at that spot, then you probably don't get what you got on Monday into Tuesday morning.
Right.
You also you have to make a strong stand as a coach. You're trying to look out what's best for the team. Tim's not for everyone when it comes to coaching. Okay, he coaches guys extremely hard, and in particular, some guys. Some guys thrive under it, some don't. Ed's got a ways to come in his game, and one, he's got to stay healthy. I like his game, and you can't discount it, because when Nebraska got off to the 3-0 start, Ed Morrow was there. He got hurt, and they struggled. So Ed Morrow is a key part of that team. But what Ed Morrow is, all of a sudden, didn't just blow up to this incredible basketball player because he said he was transferring. But he's a key part. And so you have to figure out, okay, what happened? I think it's more from a PR standpoint, when you're struggling and there's a lot of questions about your stability, that a guy named Ed Morrow, who came to your university because of his parents, and he was well-known in the city of Chicago, then you have to ask some hard questions. But I think it's not much, but I think it's more of a PR hit than it is an actual basketball hit for Nebraska this week with the transfer of Ed Morrow.
Gary Sharp with this, Hail Varsity Radio. Among other things, Gary, of course, does play-by-play for UNO basketball, and Trayshon Thurman, power forward out of Omaha Central, announced that he's transferring. Just curious, quickly, if there is any shot, any interest in Trayshon maybe transferring to Nebraska. Is that a possibility at all?
I'm sure it's a possibility, Mark, but you have to remember, Trayshon is going to have to sit out 1 year to play one. And sometimes coaches at Power 5 programs don't want to lock into that kind of a situation. But basically, we kind of be trading, Ed Morrow for Trayshon Thurman. And Trayshon's case in Omaha was very similar. They asked him to play the five at times in the upcoming year for the sake of the team. And he said, no, my future is out playing a three. And so he decides that he's moving on. I think it's also different from mid-major in the month of April and May is the worst time, because players start looking around that have had some success that didn't get a Power 5 look out of high school. But, it's Nebraska basketball. That's the thing that is never going to change, is they are the home of the most random and bizarre transfers, and it seems like there's always drama. Outside guys of 1 month in the last 5 years, it seems like we always have drama with Nebraska basketball. Please, somebody make it stop.
Well, and speaking of drama real quick, sorry, Chris, I have to jump in.
Go ahead.
you know, Greg Smith producing for us today, there was a tweet from a reporter down in the New Mexico area. They've just fired their head coach. The Lobos have. That's where Chris Harriman is now an assistant. Anyways, a reporter down there tweeting out, don't be surprised if the athletic director, who was at Colorado State, is that right, Chris?
Yep.
Director was at Colorado State, said, Paul don't Krebs. Be surprised if he makes a run at 10 miles. And you look at North, you look at New Mexico, and you're kind of like, oh, that doesn't make sense, right? Until you, I mean, they've been to 15 NCAA tournaments.
That's where Alford was just at, pre-UCLA.
They've been conference champions a lot, now in the Mountain West. If you're Tim Miles, and that guy comes and makes a run for it, I would not be shocked if he takes that job.
I want to say, I know I definitely said it on my show. I think I said this on this show a month ago. Don't be surprised if we see his name pop up for other jobs that are not quote-unquote Power 5 jobs. We've seen it before to stay a step ahead of the posse. In this case, it's really weird because New Mexico did not fire Craig Neal until like 11:30 last night.
Right.
And I'm sure that Tim will have, there'll be some interest, and Tim will get a phone call, and Tim may look at it going, you know what? I don't like the situation here. I'm not comfortable. I don't know what's going to happen. I want more stability. I'm going to go to New Mexico where, you know, they play in the pit. They've had the history of the NCAA. I think this is one to kick the tires on just to see, because you also got to remember that the Final Four going on right now in Phoenix is a gigantic coaches convention as well. There's a lot of job talk going on in the lobbies and a lot of people looking for jobs and a lot of chatter, and a lot of athletic directors are actually in Phoenix, including Nebraska's. So keep that in mind. Watch this as the week moves along. But whatever happens, you know, if this does happen, you got to remember you also have the start of the late signing period in basketball coming up, and Nebraska's got 3 open scholarships. So there's going to be a lot of movement going on with Nebraska basketball in the next 2 weeks.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, let's talk some spring football and your reaction to some of Nick Gates' comments after practice Thursday, being pretty real with the bowl game, the effect it had on him, and him moving forward.
Well, I think it's great for the accountability standpoint. I know some people might look at it and go, boy, he's not very tough. Well, it's not easy to go there where he went to do some self, you know, just look inside yourself and realize that was not my best day, and I look like a turnstile at a ballpark against a guy that's going to be a first-round draft pick. And it's true. But we wondered, what was wrong with him. I think it also showed you Nebraska was not ready to play in that bowl game. Nebraska did not take that bowl game seriously. And Nick Gates, it was a bigger transition than we could have ever imagined going from right to left last year. And that was a season-long struggle. And then he got nicked up towards the end of the year, and he couldn't be the same. Nobody's going to question his toughness. The guy plays hard. He plays through the whistle. He's a key component. But he's also a guy that I think looked at and said, you know what, I want to be Derek Barnett maybe next year or the following year. I want to be a first-round draft pick. He just made me look bad, and it's going to hit him even more because when Barnett gets drafted, they're going to show a lot of the Music City Bowl video, and they're going to show him going by Nick Gates. So I thought it was a look inside of not only Nick Gates but the program, that there's more accountability going on. And if that's what's going to drive Nick Gates from here on out, is that one day in Nashville, hey, good on him, because that means that the big guy is fired up and he's ready to go for this season. But I think it caught people off guard. Now, he didn't go there. He was asked a question and he went there. But good on him. I think that shows the maturity of Nick Gates where he wants to go, where a lot of people would not go where he went, where he says, basically, I kind of gave up on myself. I thought it was very impressive. And I hope I think that'll probably be one of the last times he'll talk about it, because he doesn't talk very much. But he'll use that as a motivator throughout the year, and I think as a motivator for that team not to have the same feeling.
Gary Sharp with this, Hail Varsity Radio. It was about 13 months ago, December 2015, when Boyd Epley made his comments. You remember those when they first came out around the UCLA game about how he's bringing the performance index back and Nebraska's offensive line in particular, he called out from a physical and a talent standpoint and said, you know, we need about 18 months. They're about a year and a half away from displaying the type of athleticism that we need them to have. So that amounts to this season. That's basically right about now. Do you think we'll see that? Do you think we will see a recomposed offensive line physically? And will that translate to better performance this year?
I think you're starting to see it, especially with some of the younger players that are redshirt freshmen or sophomores, in terms of how their bodies look.
Like Decker. Again,
yes. Like Decker and John Redden are walking Coke machines, basically. That's what they're built like. I think you have to, on that question mark, I think you have to wait until the fall to see how it translates. But it's very noticeable to the eye in a short period of winter conditioning that they have adjusted guys' bodies. And now you're also starting to see, and I think this is very key for Nebraska moving forward, is you're starting to see, okay, the running backs look like this. The quarterbacks look like this. The tackles look like this. A certain position group, that's the kind of body they want to look like. I think the only position group right now for Nebraska that doesn't have the body type that they really want, and it's because of the change and they hadn't recruited to it, is the outside linebackers.
That'll be something to keep an eye on with the outside linebackers. Sharpie, we'll get you out of here on this, bud. Does Dana get it done tonight, and does he get it done Monday?
I don't think so. Okay. I think they're going up against a beast in North Carolina. It's going to be a good game, though. I think it'll be tight. I don't know if Oregon can match the inside presence of North Carolina, and I'm interested to see what kind of tempo they play with. But for Dana Altman to get Oregon to the Final Four is quite an accomplishment. I know you guys are going to have him on here in a little bit. Great representative of the wonderful town of Wilbur. The people at 3rd and Main right there by the Czech Museum,
They
are celebrating today. His dad, Lyle, is one of a kind. So I don't think they get it done today. I want North Carolina Gonzaga.
Okay, I got you.
Any chance Dana Altman would come back to finish his career and coach Nebraska?
Well, let me ask you, do they have a Nike room, and do they pay him? Would they pay him more than the football coach?
I'm talking, what, he's mid-50s, late-50s,
right? Crash and burn, Kranak.
Yeah. Hey, I know it's a dream. That dream went away back in about 1998, 2000, right around that time period. I think he retires at Oregon. He's got a great deal there, and he's taken him to the Final Four. He's overcome a little off-the-court stuff. I think he's golden there.
Good enough. Sharpie, we'll catch up with you soon, man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, guys. See you later.
All right, Gary Sharp with us at Varsity Radio. Hill Varsity Magazine. Kranak, get to soccer, my man. I know you got soccer duty coming up, so get the lad ready to go, and no field tackles, okay?
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you what, man, do you think we're going to hear Tim Miles going to New Mexico?
I think the overture will be made.
God.
It's just awesome. A matter if Walt White's house is for sale still or not.
Yeah.
To move.
Wow.
Kranak, be good. You enjoy Ireland, bro, and we'll talk spring game Saturday.
Yeah, man, we'll talk in a couple weeks. All right.
Take care. Quick timeout, and the Pride of Wilbur is next. Dana Altman with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Oregon in the Final Four. The Pride of Wilbur with this head coach at Oregon, Dana Altman. Coach, congrats on the season. There's still more work to do. I'm sure you're thinking that, but how are you today? And thanks for a few minutes with us.
Well, our guys are really excited about the opportunity. As you mentioned, it's nice to get to the Final Four, but since we're there, it sure be nice to play two more games. We've got a big challenge, obviously, with North Carolina. Their size, rebounding ability, and transition offense will be very tough for us to handle, but it is exciting getting the opportunity to play in the Final Four, and we're looking forward to heading to Phoenix tomorrow.
Coach, I know you'll be busy Saturday night, but what do you think Wilbur's going to be like Saturday night?
I'm not sure Wilbur will change too much, but I hope there's some people watching the game. Wilbur's still a special place, no doubt about it. My dad and brother still there, and love getting back and seeing everybody when I get the opportunity.
I imagine there's going to be a lot of Wilbur maybe heading down to Glendale.
Yeah, we've got some ticket requests. We're trying to get through all those now. The NCAA doesn't give you a lot of tickets for your school, and so I'm trying to get as many as I can, and we have a lot of Duck fans that are heading down there. It is our first Final Four since 1939, so people are pretty excited.
A few minutes here, Dana Altman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what do you remember about your early days in Fairbury, that point of your life, not far removed from your playing days, and the opportunity you had?
Well, I was really blessed to be able to I played at Fairbury. and then had an opportunity to go back there and coach, and it really gave me a great start. It enabled us to move on to Moberly, and that's where I got Mitch Richmond and got my start in Division I basketball at Kansas State. But I was very fortunate to play for a great high school coach, Dave Ullman at Wilbur, and Gary Bargan was my junior college coach at Fairbury, and he was a great guy and actually got me the job at Fairbury a few years later when I started my coaching career. So owe so much to Coach Ullman and Coach Bargan for getting me started, and Fairbury was great. I met my wife there, Reva, and so it was the start of my family and the start of my career.
Growing up in Wilbur, how did that influence your approach to coaching?
Well, like I said, I learned a lot from Coach Ullman there.
Sure.
Bob Brandt, Randy Cordes, my high school coaches there all did a great job and learned a lot from them. But mostly it's the work ethic I got from my dad and the great support from my mom and dad. Unbelievable. Very fortunate to be born into a great family and had great grandparents. And like I said, mom and dad were really supportive. And lost my mom a couple years ago, but dad, Lyle Altman, is still really supportive. He was able to be in Kansas City, which meant a lot to me. And he doesn't get around as well as he used to. He used to come out to a lot of ball games, but he doesn't fly. He doesn't like to fly, so it's been a little tough getting out here, and he's not moving around quite as good as he used to.
Dana Altman with his Hale Varsity Radio. Let's take a step further with the family support. Dad's going to be down there, your brother Dirk, and I've seen the backyard concrete slab with the hoop. Those moments growing up, playing with the neighborhood kids, playing your brother in the backyard, developing your love for basketball, those were special times. Did you keep track of the record versus your brother? Were you the winner? Did Dirk beat you? How did that work out?
Dirk was pounding me back then. There's no doubt about that. We loved to play, and we spent a lot of time. We had a big backyard, and we played a lot of ball. And I've always been fortunate. When your hobby's your job, you're pretty lucky. And so I've been able to make a living coaching basketball, and it is my passion and something I love to do, so it worked out pretty good.
Coach, you're headed to the Final Four, and just Nebraska's happy and proud of you, and then obviously the Oregon fan base ecstatic. What about the emotions taking Fairbury to that JUCO tournament for the first time? Similar at all? Different scale?
Oh, yeah. No, it's just a lot of years later, and 16 years at Creighton. I love Creighton. I love Omaha. The people there were unbelievable to us, and I wish we would have been able to get to this stage when I was there. Those players that had an opportunity to work with there for 16 years, those guys were off the charts. I loved working with them, and really fortunate to have a lot of good players and a lot of good years there. So hopefully, this is for all of them. I've been able to talk to a lot of former players from Creighton, and heck, they're all a part of this. We still do all the same things, and it's funny, there were a number of them down in Kansas City, and they were calling out our plays. They knew what we were running, so it's really good for all of them to be a part of this also.
You mentioned Creighton, and you had a chance to spend time with Coach Osborne when he was doing work with Creighton. His influence on you, how did you connect with Coach Osborne?
Well, he did work with our staff for a couple years, and his influence, resonates throughout the state, and that was before, we spent a lot of time talking in my office, as a young man growing up, going to all the football games, and the way he handled himself, the way he handled his team, his program, I think had an influence on anybody growing up at that time, and, when I did get into coaching, the example he set, with the way he ran his team, the way he handled himself, the way he handled his staff, I think had an effect on any coach in the state at the time. And so, no, he's a wonderful role model. For the 2 years he was with us at Creighton, had a big influence on my perception and the way I looked at things, the way I handled my team, and he was great to work with.
You never stop learning as a person, obviously as a coach, and when it comes to communication and connection with players, be it now or when you were at Creighton or even at K-State, what are some constants, I guess, that you kind of work to try and perfect as a teacher, as a coach?
You know, the players have to trust you. There's got to be a relationship there, or they're not going to try to do the tough things you're asking them to do. And I think consistency is a big part of it, you know. And my former players, my guys at Creighton, would probably hate hearing this, but, you know, we don't practice quite as long as we used to, and I don't yell quite as much as I used to. I've mellowed a little bit in my old age. Players have changed a little bit. They're a little more sensitive than they used to be. Those guys at Creighton, you know, were really tough and could put up with me. And now if you get on them too hard, they just transfer. But I don't know. It's not an exact science, and every player's different. You know, every relationship with every player, their background is different. You don't treat guys the same because they all come from different backgrounds. Some you can really get on and they thrive on that. Others you got to bring in your office and talk to them all the time. Others you got to show them on film because they don't believe you. You got to show them. And so it's not an exact science. And obviously I haven't perfected it, but I sure enjoy, you know, trying to relate to each guy. And fortunately we've had a core group here. We've got Dylan Brooks, who's been with us 3 years, Jordan Bell 3 years, Casey Benson 3 years. We've only got two seniors on the team, but I think we're going to lose, you know, Jordan and Tyler Dorsey and Dylan. They'll probably all put their name in the draft, and I hope they make it. You know, if they get an opportunity to be drafted, I hope they do go. That's the whole purpose, to help them better their lives. But I enjoy doing it. It's been a great profession for 37 years, and hopefully got a few more years left in me.
Dana Altman with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, back to something you said. Why do you think kids are more sensitive today?
Oh, I don't know. I think all the Twitter accounts and everything, there's just a lot more out there. And, you know, the discipline, some of that in the schools isn't quite the same. And it's just, you know, when you do this for 37 years, you see the change in times, you know, and things have changed over the decades. And but I really think, you know, young men, you know, they have to be told why a lot more. You know, when I started and when I played in the 70s, coach told you something, that was pretty much it. But those things have changed, and their relationships are important. The trust factors are important. So it's just it's a different time.
Carolina, so you tip off with on Saturday night, and a familiar coach on that opposing sideline, and Coach Williams, it's not about you two, but the programs and the kids, obviously, but familiar face. What do you think of this this meeting?
Well, Coach Williams is a great coach. There's no doubt about that. You know, we met 20-some years ago, 25 years ago, I guess it's been already, at K-State, and he was at Kansas. You know, those two programs don't like each other all that much, so it was always a tough game. He came out on the right end of it a lot more than we did. We did get him a few times, but, you know, it's going to be a tough game. North Carolina is really talented. Their size will give us problems. With Chris Boucher, you know, a big part of our team not being able to play, takes out one big guy out of our rotation. So we're going to have to play our tails off. We're going to have to play our A game if we want to give ourselves an opportunity to play on Monday night.
Dana Altman, Final Four for Oregon, and Nebraska proud from Wilbur. Coach, best of luck to you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes with Hale Varsity, sir.
All righty. Take care.